Have you ever looked out at the world of men and felt a deep, unshakable sense of disappointment? Have you seen the wasted energy, the frantic search for fleeting pleasure, the profound lack of drive that defines a generation? You are not mistaken in what you see. Our civilization is morally degenerate, and it has led most men to be completely out of control with their sexuality by their 20s. What if I told you the pervasive weakness you observe stems from a single, grotesquely misunderstood act? You have been conditioned to believe the male orgasm is a triumph. This is the great deception, a psychological prison designed to keep you powerless. The unvarnished truth is that when a male has an orgasm, he suffers an enormous, catastrophic loss of life substance. In the raw energetics of the sexual act, the male is the actual loser. But there is another path, a hard path for the few. It is a path of power and self-mastery born from sexual self-restraint. Its ultimate expression is celibacy. For a man raised in this age, this is a monumental task, but the pursuit itself is where the magic begins. Any degree of restraint gives great benefits. Even the man who fails in perfect celibacy has achieved a great victory because he is learning to curb his desire and develop mastery over it. Before we speak of the rewards, you must first understand the descent. You were not born a leaking vessel. You were born in a state of innocent childhood, with your life force, your Shakti, pure and contained. In this state, the world was a place of wonder, not a source of craving. There was a natural happiness that required no external stimulation. Then came the fall. The first act of self-pollution, often done in ignorance, was a psychic shock to your system. The body, which knows its own sacred laws, registered a profound violation. A seal was broken. You taught your own nervous system that this sacred creative fluid was a waste product to be expelled for a moment of friction. This first act opens a door. With each repetition, the door swings wider. The character is weakened further. The ambition that was once natural begins to fade, replaced by a restless craving. You begin to live in the lower chakras, the animalistic centers of consciousness. From this lowered state, the world itself begins to look different, grosser. This is the descent of the Shakti. Now let us speak of the ascent. Let us speak of the incredible rewards that come to the man who chooses to halt his descent and begin the hard climb back to purity and power. When a man begins to store up his sexual energy, the change is not just noticeable, it is elemental. He becomes stronger, healthier, and more vital. His mind clears. He becomes more patient and successful with people. This is not a matter of belief. It is a matter of natural law. The first great reward you will receive is the birth of what the ancient yogis called virya. This is not a concept, it is a palpable force. It is the noticeable quality of character and countenance that comes to the man who retains his seed. The sacred Yoga Sutras state, on becoming established in continence, virya is attained. This virya is a pronounced, almost electric vitality that radiates from the stored sexual energy. It signifies a startling increase in true masculine qualities, unwavering strength, deep stamina, boundless energy, and a piercing clarity of mind. It is an aura, a nimbus, a definite shine that attends the sexually restrained man. It begins to show up quickly, and it keeps on building, day by day. This ancient concept is deeply connected to a word we know but no longer understand in English: virility. A dictionary will tell you that to be virile is to have the vigor and strength of manhood, to be sturdy, intrepid, and forceful. This is the energy that penetrates hostile lands, that builds bridges, that wins wars and builds civilizations. Where has this quality gone? I ask you, look around you. Look at the faces of young men today. Why do so many appear wasted, drawn, anxious, and listless? There is one reason, and one reason only: the increasing wanton loss of their seed through the solitary vice of masturbation and a hopeless addiction to pornography. When men expend themselves so wantonly, the very essence of their maleness is destroyed. Now look at photographs of the men of the past, your grandfathers and great-grandfathers. You will notice that the look of virility was far more prevalent among them. Why? Because they were more sexually restrained by a culture that still valued moral dharma. The men who won World War II, who faced down unspeakable evil, were men of virility. Do you honestly believe that a nation of sex addicts and porn lookers could have accomplished such feats? It is an absurdity. Without virility in men, a country can build no great structures, it can pioneer no new frontiers, it can invent no revolutionary technologies. The wise men of the Orient knew this immutable law. For winning a war, they had a simple, devastatingly effective strategy. Send prostitutes into the enemy camp. Let the men deplete themselves, and their will to fight will vanish. The second profound reward you will gain is the development of grit. The enlightened Saint Ramakrishna, who saw the world with perfect clarity, stated, "The first evidence of a man's progress in spiritual life is a strong grit." And what is grit? It is firmness of character, especially in pain or danger, pluck, courage. Does this not sound a great deal like virya and virility? For millennia, man has known that sexual restraint is inextricably linked to character and to courage. The Roman legionnaires, the most effective fighting force of the ancient world, were strictly prohibited from any sexual activity while on military campaigns. Unrestrained sex destroys the character of man and takes away his courage. When you choose this path, your entire perception of the world will change. You will begin to see women differently. Before, blinded by the fog of your own sexual attraction, most women seemed desirable, mysterious, or even good. But now, with a clear mind, you become far more discriminating. You begin to see the female form for what it truly is, a biological construction, shorn of the magical, hypnotic power it once held over you. You start to notice its purely animal nature, with the detached curiosity of a child viewing a barnyard creature. You see that her rounded features are simply nature's efficient way of storing up fat for pregnancies. You understand that breasts are merely glands, designed for the biological function of feeding young. Her sexual area, rather than seeming interesting or alluring, may begin to seem repulsive, just as it did when you were an innocent young boy. You become acutely aware that the human body, male or female, is full of bacteria, waste, and excrement. Your past obsession begins to take on the appearance of a strange mental illness. You will wonder, with genuine astonishment, how you were ever getting such a powerful charge out of it. It is only by living in the lower, animalistic centers of consciousness that these things seem attractive. From this higher, clearer vantage point, you will also notice the devastating social effects of man's collective infatuation. You see that almost all women have come to assume that men are no better than dogs, that all men inherently worship the female form, and that they are generally unable to resist any woman who gives them the slightest signal. You see that they hold this belief because it is based on their actual lived experience with the depleted, needy men of our age. You finally understand why women have lost so much respect for men, and you also see how deeply unhappy this state of affairs makes them. You will find that you can still be attracted to a certain kind of female, but the criteria will have changed entirely. You will only be drawn to those with a moral virtue similar to your own. You notice that only women who are morally pure have any attractiveness for you, and you can sense moral virtue in others as if with radar. You could be faced with a line of 10 conventionally beautiful women, but only the one with a radiant inner moral virtue will exercise any pull on your mind. This purification of your perception is a monumental achievement. And as men purify themselves in this way, it naturally exercises a powerfully beneficial effect on all women. When men chase any woman indiscriminately, women have no motivation to rise to a higher moral station. When men return to purity and self-possession, women will automatically follow. The state of woman today is a direct reflection of what has happened to man. But your perception does not only change regarding women. You begin to see other men with a startling new clarity. You lose your shyness around them, but more than this, you develop an instinct, a psychic sense about their inner state. You can feel their sexual thoughts. You develop the ability to know, just by being in their presence, if a man has recently wasted his substance. You see the difference between the man with stored up shakti and the one who is spent. It is in their eyes, their posture, the very resonance of their energy field. This is not a judgment, it is a perception of truth. You see who is a solid container and who is a leaking sieve. The third great reward is the manifestation of tejas, or effulgence. This is another potent word from the yogic lexicon, It refers to the unmistakable sparkle in the eyes, the vibrant glow of vitality that creates a charismatic aura around the face and body of the celibate man. Some scriptures refer to this as radiance. This quality is not an illusion. It can be easily seen in the photographs of great spiritual masters like Yogananda and Shivananda. I have personally seen it shining in the faces of monks and nuns in hermitages and ashrams. It is the look of nature at its most vital, and it can be seen most purely in the faces of innocent children before their life force has been squandered. Along with this visible radiance comes a more even and stable temperament. Few things will irritate you or cause you to lose your temper. Yet at the same time, you become bolder, more courageous, and your actions are filled with integrity. You will find you need less sleep to feel fully restored. Many chronic health problems that have plagued you for years may be mitigated or disappear entirely. I myself overcame a serious chronic illness through the steadfast practice of celibacy. Pay no attention to the modern magazines and so-called scientists who claim there are health benefits from frequent sex. They are printing what sells to a sex-addicted populace. A sex-loving editor can always find a sex-addicted scientist to spin theories validating the addiction. Go to any coffee shop and look with clear eyes at the wasted young men there. Do they look healthy? They look like waifs and old men. The truth is that conserving your sacred male energy puts a gleam in the eyes, while wasting it makes them dull and sunken. Even the sound of your voice will begin to change. Moral and spiritual development alters the quality of the human voice. An ancient scripture states that a sure sign of spiritual progress is a more pleasant and attractive voice. With the potent combination of meditation and celibacy, the voice becomes richer, fuller, and seems to contain a melody, a sense of a smile within it. This is because the very presence of the divine begins to resonate in your voice. When a truly advanced yogi speaks, it sounds like a beautiful song. People are deeply, instinctively attracted to this sound because they recognize it as a kind of food for their soul. It subconsciously reminds them of their true home, of a purity and peace they have long forgotten. But you will find that these voices are rare and hard to hear. Why? Because the very people who possess them, those whose voices are dripping with this spiritual Shakti, are also the least inclined to speak. The renunciation of speech and the rejection of fame are themselves major virtues on the spiritual path. As the sage Lao Tzu said with perfect economy, "He who knows doesn't speak." As you progress, the battle for purity extends into unseen regions. You begin to purify not just your physical body, but your astral body and astral mind. Your physical body is not all you are. You possess a subtle, energetic body, a body of light and memory upon which your physical form is built. Every act of indulgence stains this astral form, creating grooves of habit that are difficult to erase. This is why the war continues even in your sleep. You begin to gain control over your wet dreams, which are leakages from the astral, not just the physical. When you no longer create sexual experiences in the dream state, you are mastering a deeper level of your being. This is a sign that the purification is reaching the very root of your consciousness. The universe also rewards the man of restraint in another fascinating and paradoxical way. He who renounces attracts everything. The great yogi Swami Vivekananda described this law with stunning clarity. When you renounce nature, you find that she takes an interest in you. When you renounce her a little more, she begins to chase you. And when you finally don't care for her at all, she becomes your slave. This is a profound metaphysical truth. When you become entirely devoted to the Creator, all of creation becomes devoted to you. This is the ultimate test. This is the hidden reason why the Catholic Church, which was built upon a culture of renunciation, became so immensely wealthy and powerful. It is why all true devotees and saints, regardless of their path, end up materially well off. They seek nothing, and so they are given everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes this promise: "He who meditates on me, I remove his deficiencies and make permanent his gains." Christ stated this exact same truth in the West: "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The path of renunciation does not lead to poverty. It leads to an abundance of higher, finer pleasures. You must disengage from the grosser, animalistic pleasures in order to even perceive the finer, more satisfying spiritual ones. You simply cannot hear a beautiful violin symphony while you are standing next to a roaring lawnmower. We give up the crude pleasure of sex, which never mattered to us as happy children, but through this act of renunciation, we ultimately gain a satisfaction so immense it is beyond description. This path brings forth esoteric developments within your own body. You may begin to feel a distinct buzzing sensation in various parts of your body, including the sexual organ. This is a non-sexual, purely mechanical type of vibration. Do not be alarmed. This is the divine energy, the Kundalini Shakti, working to knock off and burn away layers of dark, negative karma that have been stored in that organ from past actions. As you advance, your thoughts are found to have more weight, more power. Your words begin to carry an authority they never had before. You begin to notice that you can influence your surroundings, and that people who spend a great deal of time around you begin to unconsciously become more like you. This is because the celibate man develops occult power to influence things by sheer thought and will. Your very form begins to change, not just in this life, but across lifetimes. Men who fornicate madly develop larger sexual organs over incarnations, while their heads become smaller and their eyes lose luster. The old folk notion of masturbation making you go blind is rooted in this deep truth. Wasting Shakti makes the eyes dull and sunken, while conserving it puts a gleam in the eyes and makes them larger over lifetimes. Those who practice celibacy find their sexual organs diminish in size. The energy is being drawn upward to build the higher spiritual centers. Ultimately, you become able to pass knowledge to others by a simple look, a touch, or a focused thought. The sacred power to give what is known as initiation or baptism is entirely dependent on two things. First, the actual direct experience of the divine by the sage, and secondly, his unbroken celibacy. It is the retained life force of a sage that enables him to give Shaktipat, a true spiritual awakening, to others. Without the power of celibacy, no one can truly give this spiritual charge. A perfectly celibate sage can transmit even the most complex or hidden knowledge to another person by mere thought. This is the ultimate reward, the pinnacle of human attainment on this plane. To a full renunciant, God gives all power and all worldly authority. This is a natural law. This path may seem impossibly difficult at the outset, but as the Saint Ramakrishna so sweetly said, a sailor has to work and toil to raise the heavy sail. But once it is finally aloft, the sail catches the wind and progress becomes easy. So it is with the spiritual life. You must do the hard work at the beginning, raise your sail, and the divine breeze will carry you of itself. The choice is now before you, presented with unsparing clarity. You can remain on the path of the herd, the path of the depleted man, the path described by the phrase, ever fed, never satisfied. Or you can choose the other path, the path of the spiritual warrior, the path of the self-possessed man, the path of power, radiance, and grit. This is the path where you are never fed, ever satisfied. This is the quest for the one thing truly worth attaining. It is the path that leads to the indescribable bliss of the celibate.